Amen. And, well, a very familiar passage of Scripture, a few verses of Scripture I'm going to read here. And everybody ought to know this few verses of Scripture. Everybody in this church ought to know it. Ought to be able to quote it without even looking. Because this is what we use when you come to the end of the Romans Road. This is the Scripture you use to lead somebody to the Lord. It's one of the easiest Scriptures to use. Simple, to the point, explains it in such simplicity. The Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And that's what that word foolishness means. It don't mean foolish preaching. It means foolishness. And if you look at it up and study it, it means the simplicity of it. It seems foolish to the world. It don't make any sense. In other words, a lost man walks in here and he's undone without God and he's living a life of sin. He's a drunkard, alcoholic, drug addict, lived a life wicked and vile. I mean, his life's a mess and he's world's upside down and his life's in pieces and shambles, and you tell him that all he's got to do is come up here and pray, and actually don't even have to come up here and pray to be saved. You know that? The Bible said it's about believing and repenting. And if you tell that man all he's got to do is trust Jesus Christ as his Savior and he'll save him, really, if you think about it, that's hard to grasp. Sometimes we stumble over it. It's so simple. It's so simple. The Bible said, a fool, though he be a wayfaring man, would not err therein. It's so simple. Sometimes people just can't believe it. I had a fella tell my youngest son, one day he was witnessing to him, a wealthy man, businessman, got a lot of money. And, just real, he's a businessman there in our town, and he's witnessing, telling him that he needs to be saved. He's a good guy, a real good fella. And he said, Travis, he said, it just can't be that simple. It's impossible. It just can't be as simple as you describe it. He said, that's the beauty of it. It is that simple. That's what grace is. And I thank God for that this morning. Thank God for the grace of God. I'm glad we're living in the day of the dispensation of grace. I'm glad that now, right now, this dispensation, all you got to do is just believe God, believe in your heart, and trust Him as your Savior, and you're in. Amen? That's what I want to talk to you about just for a minute. In Romans chapter 10, and let's just read verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Nobody has ever or ever will be saved without preaching. We're begotten by the word of God, incorruptible seed of the word of God. God has chose preaching as the means of reaching the lost. People don't get saved by singing. Amen? Singing a lot of times brings people to that point of conviction and repentance. It does. It really has its place. But old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible preaching will fall on sinners' hearts and get them saved. It always has. It always will. Listen, you don't have to have a rock concert or a dance, or you don't have to have all this worldly stuff inside the church to get people in to convince them that Jesus is cool and He's hip and everything's all right and you need Jesus. No, that's not what you do. You just preach Jesus high and lifted up on the cross of Calvary and leave Him in His proper place, and that He died and went down into the tomb and rose the third day, ascended up into the heavens, and brother and sister, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been working for 2,000 years, and it'll keep working until Jesus comes. Our problem in our Baptist churches, we're so dead, we have no spirit anymore, we have no worship anymore, and we're to the point where God don't show up anymore. So to implement the absence of the presence of God, we've drug in everything the world's doing, we're bringing it in, because it works for them, it'll work for us. But I got news for you, all we're doing is feeding the frenzy of the flesh. We're not going to help people spiritually by bringing the world in the church. The church ought to have something for people that the world can't give them. I can go out here to a nightclub and hear a rock band in a room filled with smoke and see people dancing with somebody else's wife. God help, we don't need that in the house of God. Amen. We need something the world can't give them. Look at verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen, there ain't a young'un in this building that can't figure out, understand that. That's easy. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, but whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's why we tell people when they get saved, get up, walk around and tell somebody what happened to you. Amen. If you really got saved, you'll tell somebody, won't you? If you inherited $1 million, you'd tell somebody. You couldn't keep it down. You couldn't. I mean, if you won the lottery, man, you'd have to tell somebody. If you do win the lottery, you better tell me, your pastor, first thing, because I want a tenth of it going to church. If you're going to get out of the will of God and play the lottery and you win, you at least pay your tithes. Amen? Well, that's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all the rich and to all them that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's what I want to preach on this morning for just a few minutes. Saved from. What are we saved from? If you hear that term, you hear it a lot. You grow up hearing it about being saved. And people grow, you know, you're accustomed to hearing it. But you know, I have met people before and they say, "Preacher, what do you mean by being saved? What exactly does that mean?" And a lot of people, to a lot of people, it can mean a lot of things. When we go out witness and knock on doors, we talk to people. "Do you go to church?" "Yes, I go to church." Almost all the time. "Do you go to church?" "Yes, I go to church." "Where do you go to church?" "What's your preacher's name?" "What's his name?" If you don't know the name of your church, the name of your preacher, you don't go to church, you lying heathen. Amen? And they'll say, "Yes, I am saved." And you say, "Well, you say, yes, I go to church. Are you saved?" "Yes, I'm saved." "Everybody's saved." And then you ask them the ultimate question. "Okay, so you are saved." In other words, if you died tonight, if you died in your sleep, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. Then their countenance changes. And they say, "Well, I don't know about that now." You see what I'm saying? What they think saved means and what the Bible says is saved can be two totally different things. And I want to tell you what we're saved from this morning. You're here this morning, you're not saved, you don't know what you're missing. I got saved when I was 20 years old. My dad was old-fashioned Baptist preachers out of the mountains of North Carolina and could preach the paint off the wall. I grew up hearing preaching. I grew up seeing people shouting and running the aisles. I've seen it all. I've seen a little bit of everything. I've seen stuff God wasn't even in. Amen. I've seen God bless and God move, and I've heard it all my life. But I'll tell you, one night in 1978, it became real to me. I mean, God became a reality when God came down and saved my ever dying soul. And He came and took up His abode in my heart. Oh, brother, then it became real. I knew what they'd been singing about, what they'd been preaching about. I knew what all the buzz was, and all the excitement was over. Thank God I met Jesus for the first time, and He came into my heart, and I've been a different man ever since. Amen. What are you saved from? What do you mean, preacher? To be saved means to be rescued. So I want to say, first of all, I'm saved from hell. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible said the wages of sin is death. If you're sitting here this morning, young people, if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell like a runaway train down the side of a mountain. You're going. I mean, you ain't got no choice in it. You're on your way. You're going to hell as hard as you can go. The only help you have, thank God, is an old-fashioned gospel that I'm preaching to you today. The only hope you have is this blessed book. The only hope you have, thank God, is to call on the name of the Son of God and be saved from your sin. Thank God, I'm glad I got a lot of worries that I could worry about. I mean, brother, there's things that ain't no use worrying about. Listen, you can worry about a lot of things. You can worry about the economy, worry about your job, worry about your family, worry about if your house is going to be there when you get home, worry about where all your hair went. You can worry about a lot of things, but I want to tell you, if you're saved today, thank God you don't have to worry about where you're going when you die. I don't have to worry about hell. I mean, before I got saved, I'd lay in bed at night. Boy, I'd drink and I'd dope up and I'd lay in bed at night. Just 17 years old, 18, 19 years old. I'd lay in the bed and the bed would be spinning around and there'd be something in the back of my mind. I know it was the Holy Ghost talking to me. Said, "This could be the day. This could be the night you die in your sleep." The next thing you know, you may wake up and the next consciousness you have, you'll be in hell burning and screaming and crying and mom and daddy can't help you. Oh, but I want to tell you that night in the fall of 1978, I got that old account settled. Thank God I'm glad. I'm glad I got in on this thing. I'm glad I got saved. And I'm saved from hell today. I want to say, secondly, I'm not only saved from hell, but I'm saved from judgment. I'm saved from the judgment of God. Did you know when Jesus died on the cross, it was God's judgment on sin that put Him there? That's what Jesus was dying for. He was dying for you and He was dying for me. Thank God, I'm glad I don't have that on me anymore. I'm glad when Jesus said to Tetelestai, it meant it is finished. It meant paid in full. Thank God, I'm glad the payment was made. I'm glad He paid a debt He didn't know. And I had a debt I couldn't pay. Oh, but thank God, I'm so glad He stepped up and paid it. And I'm saved from the judgment of God on sin. Bible said Isaiah 53 and verse 4, listen to this, "Surely He hath borne our
griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for who? Our transgressions. He was bruised for who? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here's what I'm trying to say. When Jesus laid on the altar of God and the judgment of God was poured out on sin, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, brother, listen, it wasn't Jesus. He wasn't at fault. It was the innocent dying for the guilty. Listen, it was the judgment of God. God poured out his judgment. Justice demand payment. And mercy came calling. I want to tell you, listen, Jesus Christ took my death that day, and I'm saved from judgment. I don't have to worry about the white throne judgment. I don't have to worry about the judgment of sin. It's been paid. Y'all awake this morning? Am I the only one feeling this? Amen. Listen, brother, I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. It don't just mean I'm glad I'm going to heaven. It means I'm saved from some things. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from judgment. Thank God I'm saved from wrath. The Bible said, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's people in this world, there's some good people that's just misguided, don't understand fully. But I do know this, and I believe it with all my heart. One of these days, it can happen any moment. Jesus Christ is going to come back. I mean, there's going to be a sound. And I believe it like this. I believe the world's going to hear a sound like they ain't never heard. They won't know what it is. They can't identify it. Next thing they know, they're going to look around. And I read somewhere, and I don't know who came up with this, that there's 10 to 11 million Bible-believing Christians in the world. I don't know that. I'm just saying, if that's true, if that number's right, instantly there's going to be 10 to 11 million people vanish off the face of this earth. And after that happens, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone, and the church will be gone. There'll be churches still here, and there'll be churches still singing and preaching and having a right on just after the rapture. But those that are saved, washed in the blood, will be gone. And the Holy Spirit will be gone, and the conviction of the Holy Ghost will be gone, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost will be gone, and the good influence of the church of God Almighty will be gone. And the wrath of God will begin to be poured out. And this world ain't seen nothing like it. The Bible said it's like nothing this world's ever seen, ever has seen, or ever will see. The plagues that God put on Egypt is nothing. That's like a picnic in the park compared to what's going to happen. The unbridled sin of man, unchecked, unbridled. You think sin is bad now? You wait till the church is gone and everything righteous and holy and good is gone from this earth and the Holy Spirit Himself is gone and Bible-believing preachers are gone. And good soul-winning churches are gone. You imagine what this world's going to be like. You think we got a mess on our hands. Now, you wait till them lost people that won't accept Jesus Christ, you wait and look and see what they're going to have to live through. You say, preacher, is there anybody going to be saved during the rapture, after the rapture? Yes, there will be people saved during the tribulation. It just won't be you. If you've heard the gospel now and you turn it away, the Bible said that He'd send you a strong delusion that you'd believe a lie and be damned and believe not the truth. There'll be people saved during the tribulation, but it'll be a whole different... It'll be a whole different thing then. But I'm here telling you that this morning, if you're saved or if you're lost, you get saved. You're saved from hell and judgment, and you're also saved from the wrath of God. You don't want that to be poured out on you. Did you know there's going to be a period of time during the 7-year tribulation where the Bible said men will seek death and death will flee from them? Did you know men will get in such a state that they'll try to commit suicide and can't die? They'll take a gun, stick it in their mouth, blow their brains out, and they'll rush them down to the hospital and be laying at their brains and their blood and tissue running out of them, and they can't die. And they'll unplug them and they still won't die. There'll be people load up on pills, have car wrecks, car crashes, plane wrecks and all that other stuff, and the Bible said death will even flee from them. Won't even be able to escape by dying. I can't even scratch the surface of what it's going to be like. The sin of man, and then you think about the wickedness of Satan unleashed. Especially after that middle point of the tribulation, when he desecrates the temple and says, I'm God. Amen. Think about it. I mean, for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be, everybody's going to think, and he's what we've been looking for. Kind of makes you scared now, listening to how people's talking, don't it? I know Obama's not the Antichrist, but he probably is an Antichrist, probably. Anybody that denies that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh has the spirit of Antichrist, right? But anyway, You imagine when he comes on the scene and the Bible, think about this, people. You think about people that cannot heal. There is nobody in this world that can heal people and raise the dead right now. God can and does heal. God does. But there's no man walking around here that has that power like they claim they do. But imagine when a man does come along and he can heal people and he can raise the dead and he can rain fire down out of heaven. People's going to fall down his feet. Matter of fact, he probably wouldn't even have to do miracles. He'd take your cell phone away from you and say, if you'll take the mark, I'll give you your cell phone back. Most people take it. I've got to have my text and I've got to have my internet. I'll take the mark. Put it right there. I want my phone back. Ain't that awful? Ain't it awful how spoiled we've got and the addictions that we have? It's not just drugs and alcohol, brother. It's anything to do with the flesh. Hey, I got a phone too. I know what it's all. I'm not knocking having a phone, having a computer. But brother, any of that mess can be an addiction to you. And not only that, but think about the wickedness of man and the wickedness of Satan. But imagine mixed in with that toward the end of the tribulation, the wrath of Almighty God Himself. God's going to step up off His throne and say, I've had enough of this. Amen? He's going to straighten this mess out. But guess what? I ain't going to be here. The Bible plainly tells us that we're going to be raptured out. If you read Revelation 1, 2, and 3, and you start reading chapter 4, it talks about the churches in the first three chapters. And in chapter 4, it says, after this. And then it goes into the time of Jacob's trouble. It talks about the tribulation. And you never hear the church mentioned again. The church is gone. After those first three chapters, thank God we're out of here. We're gone. The Lord's going to take us up to heaven. And during that seven-year period, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, getting the wrinkles ironed out of our wedding garment, getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. I want to tell you, I'm saved. I'm saved from the wrath of Almighty God. Thank God I'm glad I'm saved. I'm saved from hell and judgment and wrath. But not only that, I'm saved from the influence of the world. I'm glad I'm saved from the influence of the world. I'm glad, brother. I told my wife one day, I said, you know, I wouldn't want to go back out in the world. And I know people backslide every day. I know that. People say Baptists don't believe in backsliding. Not only do we believe in, most of us practice it pretty regular. Amen? They say we believe you can sin and get away with it. I've never preached that. You can sin all you want to, but you won't get away with it. Amen? The Bible said, Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're supposed to live right and live clean and live separated and live holy and consecrated, dedicated lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to look and act like the world. Be not of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Now the Bible teaches that. As Bible believers, we're supposed to raise our families and we're supposed to structure our churches the way the Bible said and not like the world. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved from the influence of the world. Now, I'm not saying that we live here and it don't affect us, because it does. The world and its influence has shaped society and brought violence and sex and profanity to an all new level. I read somewhere just the other day where they reported just recently that there are 600,000 same-sex couples living together in the United States as husband and, well, it couldn't be husband and wife, it had to be husband and husband. That's where we're at. I remember just in my life, in my generation, I'm only 51, but I remember just in my lifetime, we joked about it when we was kids, when we was teenage boys. We joked about sodomites and queers and all that stuff. We joked about it. It ain't a joke now, people. It's all around us. Listen, it's in our public schools. It's in society. It's in the store. It's not the grocery store. It's the post office. It's up here at the convenience store. It's even in your schools. It's even in our churches all around us. Amen? I'm going to keep preaching against it. Because the Bible's against it. Amen? We had two come one time, these two ladies. That's being real nice. And they came and they sat about where Brother True was sitting. And I just so happened I was preaching on Sodom and Gomorrah that morning. And they were sitting there beside each other. One looked like a man, one looked like a woman. And neither one of them was too pretty. But anyway, one of them kept doing like this. She'd look over there. Every once in a while she'd look over there. Partner. But you know what? I wasn't trying to pick them out. I wasn't trying to hurt them. But I got an obligation to preach the truth. But I'm saying, I'm saved, thank God, from the influence of the world. You know what people's problem is? People's problem is that the world influences everything they do. Whatever's popular, that's the kind of clothes people buy for their kids. That's the kind of haircuts they get for their kids. That's the kind of jewelry they get for their family. Whatever the fad is, whatever. Listen, I know I grew up in it. I remember growing up in the 70s. All us boys started letting their hair grow out and get long. And after a while, it got to where it was short hair, and now long hair's coming back in. Whatever's popular, wearing your pants down, your earring in your nose, whatever the fad is, people, it's that shaped society. And I'm glad I'm saved from that. I don't have to keep up with the world anymore. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't like that preaching. There must be a reason for it then. Amen? I remember I grew up in the hippie movement, bell bottoms, long hair. Your clothes. Kids wear their pants hanging down. The way they talk. You notice how kids talk nowadays? They don't talk English anymore. I mean, I struggle with English. I'm a hillbilly, but I mean, I was born with that. I can't help it. I mean, kids don't even talk normal. I don't see how they spell, how they read and write, the way they talk like that and this and that, D-A-T, that. I mean, that's the way they talk. I think they're talking verbally in text language or something. It's weird. I mean, really, what that is, it's the influence of the world. You know what it is? It's bondage. You're not free. You're a slave. You're living in slavery. You know, people say, well, I want to be free and do my own thing. You're not free. You're not free if you're getting your ear pierced and your nose pierced and all your body parts pierced. You're doing it because somebody else did it and sin owns you. And you're doing what the world says is cool. Amen? You know why kids walk around with their pants hanging down? It ain't because it looks good. It's because somebody said, I'm going to be a rebel. I'm wearing my pants down. I don't care if y'all like it. That's exactly what it is. It's rebellion. Somebody wore their pants down. Somebody said, hey, that looks cool. I saw a boy the other day. I thought this fat would go out by now, but it hadn't. He's trying to reach his pocket to get something. He's reaching plumb down the floor to get something out of his pocket. It's crazy. Insane. You're rear end hanging out and your pants down to the back of your knees and you're having to walk with, you have to walk with one hand on your britches, keep them falling down. I mean, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I can see wearing long hair maybe or some of that goofy stuff, but taking your clothes halfway off and can't even walk. I mean, or somebody starts shooting at you, you can't run. Maybe that's why some of them get killed on the street. I don't know. Amen. You're a slave. I'm glad I'm saved from the influence of the world. I'm glad I don't have to get up on Sunday morning and say, how should I dress to go to church? Because preacher so-and-so is dressed this way or dressed that way. And listen, brother, I'm glad we're saved from that mess and we don't have to keep up with it. We don't dance to the world's tune anymore. Not only that, we're saved from hell and judgment and wrath and the influence of the world, but not only that, we're saved from the effects of sin. I'm saved from that. Ain't it nice to wake up on Sunday morning and not have a headache? And not be hung over. Yeah, some of y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Half the people in here know exactly. Somebody may have been drunk last night for all I can tell. Somebody look like you're drunk now. Ain't it nice to wake up in the morning and know where you're at last night and know where your money's at and know what you're spending on? The effects of sin, brother. Listen, I'll tell you what, I used to go in those circles. I used to go around in circles like a dog chasing his tail and thinking I was having a good time. But I'm glad God saved me from that. Man, she'd go into work on Monday morning hungover and couldn't even walk, couldn't see, blurred vision, head throbbing, puking, and walk up to your buddy, hey man, what'd you do? Man, we had the best time, man, the best party this weekend. It was so cool, man. And that's like, yeah, man, high five and all that stuff. What'd you do? I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I was stoned. I was wasted. I don't remember nothing. How do you know you had a good time then? Just because you got a headache? Maybe somebody hit you with a sledgehammer and you didn't have a good time at all. Ain't that right? That's crazy. To brag about what a good time you had, you can't even remember it. Listen, I remember what I did this week. I remember where I was at every night this week. We was in church singing and shouting and preaching, having a good time in the Lord. Thank God I'm saved from the effects of this world.
Amen.
I don't miss my old friends. I used to think when I got saved, I thought, what about all my friends? You don't have to worry about them. I didn't have to have a meeting and sit down and talk with them and say, now listen, guys. Things has changed a little bit. You don't have to do that. Get you a big old King James Bible and a pocket full of tracts and tell them what happened to you.
Amen.
One visit will do it. They will never call you again. Never. Amen? You know how you get rid of those people call you wanting to sell you something? Start witnessing to them. While I've got you on the phone, I don't need any vital signs. But have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Click. There's a place called our house one day. A lady said, ma'am, I'd like to sell you a grave plot down at Catawba Memorial Gardens. And we lived in North Carolina. And Debbie said, oh, I don't need one. She said, well, do you already have one? She said, no. She said, I'm going to heaven. She said, I'm going to stay alive until Jesus comes back. Click. Amen. She said, I'm going in a rapture. Click. Amen. But I'm glad we're saved from the effects of sin. I'm glad we don't have to worry about all the guilt and the emptiness and shame. You remember how you used to feel before you got saved? Ain't it good to leave church and you're just filled up? You feel like you just ate a good meal, and boy, you just feel so good and you just can't wait to go back. Remember how it used to be when you was lost and you partied all the time? And maybe some of y'all didn't party, but I partied enough for several of us. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't miss, Brother Jeff, I don't miss waking up in that empty, hollow feeling and that terrible guilt. Felt like I'd murdered somebody the night before. That guilt, you can't get rid of that. You can't shake it. You can't get rid of it. Because God made you to worship Him and live for Him. It's not natural for you to live that kind of lifestyle. Oh, brother, I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm saved from the effects of it. Not just sin, but the effects that sin brought into my life and what it's doing to my body and my mind and to my family. Thank God I don't miss that one bit. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. And I'm going to say this lastly. I'm glad I'm saved from hell, judgment and wrath and the influence of the world and the effects of sin. But you might think this one's kind of weird. But tell you something else I'm saved from. I'm glad I'm saved from myself. I'm glad I'm saved from myself, Brother Darren. Did you know who was killing me? And who was running my life down in the ground? And who was taking me down a one-way, dead-end street as hard as I could go? It was me. I was doing it. Listen, I couldn't blame nobody else. I couldn't blame my friends, and God knows I couldn't blame my family. I mean, I was raised in a good family. I was on a path to self-destruction. I mean, I was like a keg of dynamite with the fuse burning about that long, and I was just self-destructing little by little. And listen, if I hadn't got saved, I know people say that a lot, but I honestly don't believe I'd be here today. I don't believe I'd have made it. I had several close calls, almost got killed, and would have died lost and undone without God, and been burning in hell today. But God had mercy on me. God had mercy, and He went the extra mile to save my soul. I'm glad I'm saved from myself. See, I don't belong to me anymore. For a time there, Jesus said to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. Take your cross and follow me. For a while there, that's all I live for is me. But when I got saved, the Bible said you're bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. I became His. That's why I preach. That's why we run up and down the road. See, if I was going my own way, the Bible said, the way of a man is right in his own eyes. The way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You go your way, like Elvis did. Remember Elvis sung, I did it my way. You saw where it got him, don't you? Dead at 45. Amen. You see all down through the history of people that's lived those kind of lives. I've got books at home that gives you testimonies of people that's lived a wild life and lived it up and did everything their way. You see where it got them. Look at Michael Jackson. They say one of the most talented performers. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I just think he's average myself. But look where it got him. Early grave. And they'll fight over his estate and his money and his kids for years to come. And Michael Jackson is lost and unknown that God. As far as I know, I don't know. And I'm glad I don't. But if his testimony means anything, we know where he went. Amen? And I'm glad God saved me from myself. I was my worst enemy. And even after I got saved, I'm the one that keeps me, holds me back, and I'm the one I have to keep under subjection, and I have to keep myself down in my own flesh. It's what gives me trouble. And I have to fight it daily. And so do you. Are you saved this morning? Let's all stand. Why don't you and Sam get us a song? Are you saved this morning? Do you know you're saved? Let's all stand, heads bowed.